Today is International Workers' Day, May Day. So let's talk about workers. During the presidential campaign, President Trump cast himself as a champion of working class Americans. Here he is in New Hampshire on the eve of the election, rallying working class voters.
The corrupt special interests have stolen your jobs and shipped your wealth to other countries. They've betrayed the working class of this country. Tomorrow, the American working class will strike back. It's about time.
So how is President Trump doing on workers' issues now that he's in office? Celine McNicholas is labor counsel for the left-leaning Economic Policy Institute. They've just come out with a report about this. And Celine, lay out some of the ways in which you say the president has not helped or even hurt workers in America.
I think during the first 100 days, President Trump has taken a series of actions that really harm U.S. workers. You've seen the Congressional Review Act, which prior to this administration was only used successfully once, being used to repeal a number of worker protection regulations, including a rule that simply required companies with, you know, records of violating minimum wage and overtime laws and safety regulations to report that and have that factor into whether or not they would be able to be eligible for a federal contract. That's pretty basic worker protection stuff, and that is being blocked by this administration.
But a number of the regulations that you point out in your report that have been blocked by the administration hadn't gone into effect yet, correct?
That's correct. They had not yet taken effect. But that does not mean that those protections were not on the horizon for workers. In addition to the rules that have been blocked under Congressional Review Act, there are a number of regulations that have been delayed. And those are primarily in the worker protection space, the worker health and safety space. But it's likely that the Trump administration will take the time of the delay to institute a repeal of those rules as well. So simply because workers have not yet enjoyed those protections does not mean that they were any less important. And they would have been protections that they would have begun to enjoy in the workplace, but for the actions of the Trump administration.
And I imagine that if the Trump administration were asked about this and what you're saying right now, they would say, well, we're trying to get rid of onerous regulations that are stopping companies from hiring workers.
Sure. And I think it's a fair question to consider the cost of regulation. Federal agencies conduct extensive cost-benefit analyses when they're issuing a rule. And each year, the Office of Management and Budget reports to Congress on the costs and benefits of federal regulations. But those Office of Management and Budget reports have consistently found that federal regulations provide a net benefit of about $100 billion per year. But in my opinion, I think that looking at costs in that way fails to make a more basic point. Regulations are not so much about imposing costs. Costs exist either way. Regulations are really more about determining who pays those costs and when. And I think when you look at this, a rule like the Silica rule, which the Trump administration has delayed, you see, you know, workers who are exposed to silica dust, their families and those workers are paying costs now. The cost of health care, the cost of lost wages, the cost of dealing with a long-term illness. A regulation is really more about who pays that cost. Does the employer pay a preventative cost or does the worker absorb that cost?
Now, as we know, Trump's first pick for Labor Secretary, Andrew Puzder, had to withdraw his nomination after a lot of criticism about how he had dealt with workers in his career in corporate America. But now there is a new Secretary of Labor, Alexander Acosta. How do you think he'll be for working class Americans?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to tell how Mr. Acosta will act as Secretary of Labor. He questioned whether or not the Department of Labor had the authority to take certain actions like setting a threshold for the overtime exemption. That's something that the Department of Labor has exercised for the history of the Fair Labor Standards Act. But in terms of the specifics of what an Acosta Department of Labor will look like, I think that it's very difficult to estimate that based on sort of the evasive nature of his responses to the HELP committee questions that he posed during that confirmation hearing.
Why do you think, if all of these things that you point out are so bad for the American worker, that you've got Trump holding a big rally, over the weekend in Pennsylvania with a lot of his supporters, and they're not up in arms about what's happening to workers, according to your report?
The president, you know, has taken a great many actions, not, you know, unique in the worker, rights space during his 100 days. And much of those actions have enjoyed real fanfare. I'm thinking of him driving the truck, the trailer around the driveway of the White House. Those are moments where he's purposely, the administration has done a real PR effort. And I think what to me is uniquely troubling about, you know, many of these worker protections that have been blocked or delayed is that those actions have been taken without that fanfare. President Trump may not be boasting about those actions, but they are clearly a priority in his agenda. They've taken place during these first 100 days. I think that in all of this noise and in sort of feeling like everyone is just sort of drinking from the fire hose, that actually provides an opportunity to do a great deal that can potentially be very harmful without necessarily having those public consequences.
That's Celine McNicholas, Labor Counsel for the Economic Policy Institute. We'll link you to their report at hereandnow.org. Celine, thank you.
Thank you.